regular eggs. It's not like over easy egg. It's hard boiled eggs that they slice up and they place.
I don't know if that makes it better or worse.
And then mayonnaise, but it's not a lot of mayonnaise. They just like do a, you know,
like a drizzle. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. First of all, nothing about the mayonnaise can make it better.
Yeah, no, the mayonnaise definitely throws me off.
But I don't know. I feel like it would have been better for them to just put like over easy eggs on there, because then you're like, it's a breakfast pizza.
It's a breakfast. Yeah, when I saw the eggs, I'm like, I love eggs. I'll do that, no problem. But the mayonnaise.
Yeah, I could fuck with some. If you told me, yo, they have breakfast pizzas, and they'll like take sausage and they'll, you know, and take an egg and like crack the egg and like over easy it right in the fucking oven, you could like. I'd be like, yeah, I'll fuck with that. Or they take scrambled egg, with some cheese and, you know, like bacon and drizzle it in maple syrup. Like, oh, okay. I can, you know, weird, but I can fuck with some breakfast pizza. I'm fat. I'll give that a try. But you're fucking me up with hard boiled eggs and mayonnaise. Like, I'm not trying to have egg salad. I'm trying to have pizza.
That, yo, Crispy literally heard me and she texted me egg salad pizza.
Yo, I'm not. That's out of yes. Yeah. Man, I'm gonna be fucked up on that.
Yeah, like I said, I'll try it over there.
Yeah,
I am no way in hell trying that shit in the United States.
Yeah, I'm not telling some dude who's never made this kind of pizza before, hey, can you hook me up with some hard-boiled eggs and mayonnaise on pizza? Thanks, dog. Like, no. First of all, you're getting laughed out of every pizza shop in a 100-mile radius of New York City. One. Two, absolutely. The guy dumb enough to try that shit as if they have eggs on hand at a pizzeria is not going to be like, no, I'm absolutely not doing that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm ready when you are.
So welcome back, guys, to The Degenerates. If you haven't heard, Italians like eggs on mayonnaise and on pizza.
Yeah, it's, fuck it, I guess that'll be the, we'll put that in the show, fucking.
Yeah, welcome back to Degenerates Season 6. Week 1 is officially over, and it was horrible, at least for me. So, I mean, I let you get right into it. We had a good draft, a long draft. We have to make some adjustments. People were mad at the whole 2 minutes.
But the people who were mad at the whole 2 minutes took the whole 2 minutes.
Yeah. The people well, first of all, a few seasons ago, I had put it to a minute, and they said it was too fast. So then I put it back to 2 minutes, and now it's too slow.
Man.
Well, you should know who you're picking.
There's no winning when you're at the top.
You should know who you're picking. I was quick with my picks.
Quick with it.
So,
but,
draft went pretty well.
Yeah.
Week 1 did not go so well. Ozzy, if you already heard, Breaking Down the Tapes episode, Aaron Rodgers is out, and that hurt me.
Yeah.
So let's get right into it, Zach.
Yeah, let's get to the weekly report, and then we'll do the matchup. So as you know, we're on the Sleeper app. With the Sleeper app, they give you weekly reports. Kind of breaks down some stuff for you, so we'll do that, then get into some matchups.
I missed that the Sleeper app took away, like, the little characters that fought each other.
They did. They did take that away, but I will say they did institute, if you go to, like, screenshot your matchups or your team or whatever, it'll then give you an elongated, you know, because obviously the whole thing doesn't fit on one portion of your phone. You have to scroll. When you take the screenshot, it automatically pulls up the whole thing and asks you if you want to save the full length thing as a photo. So instead of having to like piece it together if you're making content or whatever. So I agree with you. Sucky that they took that away, but I will say they did add some features like that, which is cool. So obviously part of the reason I wanted to get into the weekly report is because the best team was the Lombardi Trophy. This guy, your boy, at 152.04 smoked it. And, the loser, the worst team was the team that I faced. MJ Mahomes had a little lamb, 87.14. Woo! Almost doubled her ass.
But she has the worst luck against you.
Yeah, no, I don't know why she can't beat this household, which is constantly competing for last in the league, but they just cannot fucking do it against us. I have no idea why. Anyway, quarterback, best quarterback of the week was Deshaun Watson at 21.66, which is surprising because it's not like 21.66 is a lot for a quarterback. So that is that's a little bit surprising that Deshaun Watson was on top. 26.70, Aaron Jones. That's for B-Champs who had him. And Deshaun Watson is owned by Nate Lathouris. Tyreek Hill with 44.50.
Yeah, he went off.
Yeah, for Slink Dinkers, man. B-Champs with Tyler TJ Hockenson at 11.5. Jake Elliott with Purdy with Curdy, 17 points for the Eagles. And then the Cowboys defense, who I have at 40 points, the same amount that their actual team put up on the Giants. Bench warmers on the week, sitting on the bench was Tua for Slink Dinkers at 28.14. Tyler Algier for Nate at 24.4. Jacoby Myers for Nick at 29.1. He's going to work in that slot position really well over there in Las Vegas. And then Evan Engram at the tight end position for the Rickiest Rick at 9.9. Then the league awards, we got most efficient manager at B-Champs. His max points could have been 123.56. He scored 123.56. Least efficient was Nate. He scored 109.96 on a potential max of 135.36. B-Champs also had the highest points in a loss. He scored 123.56 versus Slink Dinkers, who put up 136.72 against him. Lowest points in a win was Nate in his win over you. 109.96 to your 98.0.
Bullshit.
Yeah, we'll get into your matchup and how you got fucked. Biggest blowout was me over MJ. Narrowest victory was Nate over you with a 11-point differential. Overachiever was me. I was only scheduled 122 and I put up 152. That Cowboys defense fucking whooped. And then the underachiever was MJ at 87 when she was scheduled at 122 as well. So, yeah, I had a max, apparently, of 166.74 that I could have scored, and I scored 152.04 out of that. So I was the most efficient outside of B-Champs, who put up, obviously, 100% of his max points. But I could have put up so much more, apparently. Way to shit the bed. Anyway. Let's go through the matchups. We started at the bottom last week. We'll start at the bottom this week. Slick Dinkers, like I said, 136.66 over Team B-Champs. Let's see who he's
got. The reigning champ pulled out the W in week one.
Yeah, and you know what? It was a lot closer than the 13-point differential that it was. You know, Josh Jacobs for Team B-Champs just didn't show up with his 9 points. Lamar Jackson only having 7 points killed him as well. Other than that, he did pretty okay. Stephon Diggs put out with 26.2, Aaron Jones 26.7. But on the flip side, Slink Dinkers, you know, Justin Herbert got into the gun show, had 20 points himself. Tyreek Hill putting up that 44-piece, man. That's right there. There's your key to victory.
Then it's good for QA to start off with his auto-drafted team on a W.
We're just going to keep digging on that point. Then we've got Return of the Dak with her 115 win over Captain Cook's 100-point win. So Christy over Marcus, man. And she even did it with Dak Prescott only putting up 6 measly points.
Christy has I called it when we did the first episode. Christy has a very, very good team. And just wait until Dak starts putting up some points.
Yeah. And one of the biggest killers for Marcus was Sky Moore only putting up 0.4 points. Like, that sucks.
Yeah, the rough loss for Marcus, but he'll bounce back. He also has a pretty nice squad. I think if I'm right this week, I think I play him, and he is projected to beat me right now, but we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get into the matchups. Next, we have A Little Less Blacklisted taking the L to Greendale Human Beings. This was a 30-point game, 124 to 93. As far as A Little Less Blacklisted goes, he rode with Isaiah Likely off the bat. You know, Isaiah Likely having a decent end of the season last year at tight end for the Baltimore Ravens. But this game only putting up 1.4. That's not going to do it, man. Terry McLaurin,
nah, especially
5.
especially with Mark Andrews out, I think he was going to rely more on like Zay Flowers getting more touches than he would normally get in that week one matchup. I'm surprised OBJ didn't get a couple more touches.
Yeah.
It'll change. I think once Mark Andrews comes back, likely he's not going to really see that much of the field anyway, but with J.K. Dobbins being out now, it's going to be a gunslinging type show for the Ravens.
Yeah, for sure. And just, I don't know if, and like you said, with Mark Andrews in, and they don't really run, you know, two tight end sets like crazy. It's just, he's not going to get as many touches as you want him to get. He's already off of a little less blacklisted team. And look, Nick got the win, even with Jamar Chase doing shit, with Jalen Hurts not doing much, only at 12 points, and leaving Jacoby Myers on the bench with 29 points, and he still gets the win. So Nick's team, you know, perennial, you know, Super Bowl playoff contender. It's gonna be a good year for him. Next, we got Frank taking the L to Team Purdy with Curdy John, the newcomer. We've got 101 in a loss to 127. Obviously, big for Frank was Joe Burrow with 3 points. Man, that kills you when your quarterback spot's only giving you 3.
Yeah. John is another sleeper right there. He has a sleeper type team. He does well in his drafts. He's a guy you want to look out for moving forward.
Yeah, and I mean, look, John got the win, but that's Josh Allen only giving 12 points and Drake London putting up 0 points. He did have Amon-Ra St. Brown with 19, but, you know, obviously if he can end Jake Elliott with 17, Commanders defense 13. You know, so both of these kickers did good. Tyler Bass with 13, Jake Elliott with 17, Jets defense 21, Commanders with 13. This was a special teams and defense-driven game. But if John can figure out some wide receiver slots, he's gonna be dangerous. And you can't expect Josh Allen to be shit forever. Then we've got you taking your loss to Nazzy Nate, an 11-point affair, 98-109. We already know.
Bullshit. Yeah. Fucking bullshit. I needed 12 points. His team was already done. All I needed was Rodgers to complete a few passes, get a couple yards, maybe a touchdown. He literally could have thrown the worst game of his entire career, and he would have still got me the 12 points for the win, and I fucking lost.
Yeah. This loss is so devastating, not only to Jets fans in general, but to Hector, that he went from Mr. Rogers' neighborhood to now the team name of Getting Ridley of Rogers. So that is a pretty fantastic team name, if you ask me. But yeah, Aaron Rodgers with the 0 spot, and then Antonio Gibson with the 0.9 points, man. There's the reason you lost. And I don't need to tell you that. You know that. Justin Jefferson gave you 24 points. Calvin Ridley gave you 24 points. Romeo Doubs gave you 18 points, you know. On the flip side, you know, he had Christian McCaffrey go off for almost 26, but T. Higgins, you know, on his 0 receptions, gave him 0 points. You know, he didn't have a great showing out of DJ Moore or David Njoku, who gave him 4 points apiece. So, I mean, really, it just came down to fucking Aaron Rodgers getting hurt, like you said.
Know Rodgers was going to throw up an average of 60 fucking fantasy points a game.
Yeah, he was easily going to fucking put up 20, 30 points this game. You know, so just a tough week one loss, something that you've got to work on now at your quarterback spot. I dropped Jordan Love. I picked up Baker Mayfield. So now there's at least one quarterback on the waiver wire you can go.
I snagged Anthony Richardson. He did a good week one, production wise. So I got Anthony Richardson. I will put in a waiver for Jordan Love and maybe hold him off as a secondary quarterback for myself. So I got to redeem myself, but I know next week's going to be rough.
Yeah, it's going to be. We'll get into week two matchups.
Christy says she has to think about the trade.
I know. I'm going to trade to Christy. We'll get into that. Then last but not least, I whooped MJ 152-87. Obviously, Tony Pollard, best running back in Dallas. Was she yelling at me? Stop yelling at me, Christy. I got 22 points out of Tony. 32, almost 33 points out of Brandon Ayuk. 8 for 8, 129, and 2 tutties. What a game. What a game. And then obviously the Cowboys defense with 40 points. Giving me a 40 bucket, which is beautiful. She had Mahomes, didn't do much for her. She had Dallas Goedert, didn't do anything. Dalton Schultz didn't do anything. She decided to run a two tight end set in fantasy. Ballsy move. Didn't work out for her. And Graham Gano at negative 2 points. I obviously mopped the shit out of her.
So like I said, she has the worst luck against you. Like, for some reason, I think she's, what, 0-3 now against you? And 0-4 against the entire family?
Yeah, she's never beat me. That's sad, because I never compete for the playoffs.
Melissa there's kryptonite when it's Melissa versus Zach.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, this week I made a lot of moves. My entire bench looks differently now. I went and got Baker Mayfield. I put in a trade to Christy for Mike Evans, giving her more than enough pieces in return. So I got a will think about it, which is better than an off the rip no. So I'll take
that. I'll consult with the boss of the household. I'll see if it's an acceptable trade. Go and give her the nod if it's okay.
Collusion. There's colluding in the household again.
No. Don't use that word with me. There's no colluding. She comes to me for a little bit of advice. Say, hey, do you think this is an acceptable trade? I'm quick for vetoes. I'm all down for vetoes. You know how we treated Blacklisted.
Yeah, Blacklisted can never, unfortunately. As long as she's in this league, and as long as there's a majority of the original group, Blacklisted will always have to win off of the waiver wire and the team he's drafted. He just by principle cannot trade.
Ever. His name will always have Blacklisted in it. So this year, it's just a little less Blacklisted.
He is a little less Blacklisted, but he still can never trade. It will always, and I'll make it known, it will always be a veto from me, for Mike. Period. It has to, just for tradition's sake. It has
to. Just for traditions.
I mean,
one veto a year.
Yeah, I can't ever allow it. Now week two matchups. We'll start at the bottom, go to the top again. We've got Return of the Deck versus Team Purdy with Curdy. Woo! This is gonna be a close matchup. We've got 121 projected points versus 119 projected points.
This is gonna be a dogfight. This is going to be a dogfight. Yeah. Two really, really good teams. Two teams that are already after week one, some of the front runners for a deep playoff run.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, some key players for Christy is she's got Dak against the Jets defense. Look, as we said in our last episode, if you took a look at Breaking Down the Tapes normal episode, I don't think any offenses are going to be able to do jack shit in this. So I really don't think Dak's going to get her many points. But she does have Bijan Robinson versus Green Bay, who is soft against the run. She's also got Garrett Wilson against Dallas' defense. Again, I'm not sure offenses are going to do well in this one. She also has Mike Evans against the Bears for now. So we'll see how that works out. On the flip side, Curdy's got Josh Allen against Las Vegas. Bounce back game. There's no way he goes two games in a row. That's going to be dog shit. But again, flip side of the coin. He has Rashad White running back for Tampa Bay against Chicago. Not saying Chicago's defense is amazing, but I just don't think Rashad White's amazing. So now he has the Gabe Davis stack, but Gabe Davis had one good game last year and has yet to show anything that really jumps off the depth chart at you. So I don't know. This is back and forth. I'll take Christy in this matchup. Maybe me pulling her way will help the trade talks a little bit.
I'm also going to take Christy on a very slight edge. Yeah. I do like the front line of Chicago against Rashad White.
Yeah.
I believe that gives her a better game than week one.
Yeah,
I mean, like we've already said, it's not going to be much offensively between those teams, we think, but Dak's not going to just give up 6 points again, like only have 6 points again. I definitely believe he gets more than that. Maybe somewhere around 18.
We'll see. I don't know. Hopefully
Garrett Wilson don't throw up a donut, but I will give the slight edge to Christy on this one.
Yeah, I'm talking like a 3-point edge kind of thing. I think it's going to be.
I was thinking like a 1-point edge.
Yeah, it's going to be close. Next, we have Greendale Human Beings versus Mahomes Had a Little Lamb. Technically, or as of right now, they've got Greendale Human Beings slated to win by, let's do some math, 9 points. It's going to be, again, so on Greendale Human Beings, he's got Jalen Hurts versus Minnesota. Think he'll do just fine. But he's got Breece Hall versus Dallas. You know how I feel about that. We've talked about it. Ja'Marr Chase versus Baltimore. I think he'll do fine. But I think what really could tip for him is Sam LaPorta, the rookie tight end for Detroit. That's a kid to watch. I think that's gonna play huge for Nick. But flip side, Patrick Mahomes versus Jacksonville. I think this is going to be a shootout, and I can see Mahomes putting up a 30-40 piece, to be honest with you. Other than that, as Isaiah Pacheco, again, against Jacksonville as a running back, I don't think that's going to do great for him because it's going to be a passing game. Or for her, I should say. Scott Lazard, man. I'm sorry, I got to give this one to Nick, and I think it's going to be a big game for Nick, too. I think it's going to be like a 20-point win.
This one's a little rough. The squad this year isn't as great as her previous years. I don't know if it was because she was last draft pick this year, but then she had that follow-up first-round pick.
Yeah.
This one's rough. I'm going to go with Nick on this one. Melissa's going to need a little bit of work on that team.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be as bad as a loss as she took in week one. It'll be a closer race. But she's going to need to start compiling some wins, especially if she goes down 0-2 this week.
Yeah, man. Unfortunately, like, I don't think her players are awful. I just think they're blue chip. But I also think they're facing tough fucking matchups. Like, she's got DK Metcalf, great receiver, sure. But he's playing Detroit's defense, which is no fucking slouch. You know, I think the only really favorable matchup for her is Mahomes versus Jacksonville, simply because that's going to go to a gun show. You know, other than that.
And she did stack Pacheco, and hopefully Pacheco gets a couple, you know,
check receiving. Downs.
Yeah, get a couple catches for some PPR points. And maybe, you know, he is a touchdown reliant type of back.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just think it's going to be tough sledding for her as of right now, man. Let's see. Now we've got the reigning champ, Slink Dinkers versus a little less blacklisted. Technically, man, they've got blacklisted to win this by 2 points. This is a close game. We've got the likes of Jared Goff versus Justin Herbert, Nick Chubb, Travis versus Travis Etienne, Derrick Henry versus Gibbs, Cooper versus Hill, McLaurin versus Smith and Jigba, Godwin versus Hodgins, Hurst versus Pitts. Oof, this is gonna be a good one.
Yeah, blacklisted went heavy on his running backs. I think his first three picks in the draft were all top running backs. His receivers are more middle of the pack, but he has it overall. And I said it in the first episode for the Generous this season. He is also behind Christie, one of the lineups I said you have to watch out for.
Yeah,
for a really good season, deep playoff run. But Sling Dinker with his auto drafted team is always going to be giving good matchups to everybody.
Yeah, you know, his biggest piece, obviously, Tyreek Hill, that gave him a 40 bomb last week. They're playing New England. I said this in the regular episode of Breaking Down the Tape. I don't know. I don't think they're going to be able to replicate that kind of production again this week. It's still a Bill Belichick defense. Sure, the Dolphins might win, but I don't see the crazy kind of yardage that Tyreek Hill enjoyed last week. And Travis Etienne, while he's a great running back, if this game goes to a shootout, he might get lost in the gun show. You know what I mean? I gotta take a little less blacklisted in this one. I just think he has the more complete team. I like his matchups better than I like Slink Dinkers.
Yeah, I'm thinking about it, and I have... We got to knock off the reigning champ. I think Blacklisted's team is a more complete team. I'm going to go with a little less Blacklisted. Probably by the same, I think it's a 1 point difference for their production.
Yeah.
I'll go with Blacklisted this week. I'll go with Blacklisted.
Take that. I respect that. Next, we've got Fantasy Football Team by Frank versus Nazzy Nate. Now, Nate currently is slated to lose, but he does not have a defense starting. He has the Giants defense on his roster on the bench, but he doesn't have it starting. So, obviously, you know, with that taken into consideration, I still think he'll be slated to lose because they're only projected 8 points. Yeah, so he'll still be projected to lose if he starts them, but only by, like, 3 points. So this one's going to be close. Let's see. Burrow facing off against Washington. Stevenson versus McCaffrey. Madison versus Algier. Waddle versus Higgins. Puka Nacua, which was a waiver wire pickup, who showed out in his first game for Seattle. Or, I mean, L.A. Versus Smith. Jerry Jeudy, who might come back, versus DJ Moore. Kelsey, who might come back, versus David Njoku. Connor versus Swift. Bass versus Sanders. And Jets versus Giants. Deshaun Watson has a nice matchup Monday Night Football against Pittsburgh. Division game 2 weeks in a row. Is Joe Burrow going to have another shit game? Like, Tyler Algier versus Green Bay.
You said this was Nick, right? Nick and...
No, Nate and Frank. Nate.
Nate and Frank. I'm going to go with Nate in this one. I think Nate's going to take this. I like his running backs. His receivers give me a little bit more optimism.
Yeah.
I know the defense thing is a little bit of a issue, but he also did the same thing last week with me. He didn't pick up a defense till late.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll agree with you in this one. I like Nate. There's too many questionables on Frank's side of the ball. I mean, yeah, he's got Jalen Waddle in what's a high-powered offense, but Waddle barely touched the ball last week. Jerry Jeudy might not be coming back this week. Travis Kelce might not be coming back this week. If he does, he'll be huge, but he still might not come back. So it's, you know, there's just too many questionables. I don't like Alexander Mattison. So yeah, I agree with you. I'll take Nate in this one. Now we've got getting Ridley of Rodgers versus his boy, Captain Cook. Like you said, you picked up Anthony Richardson playing Trevor Lawrence, Gibson versus Mixon, Walker versus the younger Cook, Jefferson versus Brown, Ridley versus Adams, Rashid Shaheed versus Collins, Freiermuth versus Ingram, Dobbs versus Waller, and McPherson versus McManus, Seahawks versus Saints. I have a feeling I know which way you're going to pick in this.
Well, obviously, I'm going to go with myself. I need to get myself on a winning streak because I should be going 2-0. Yeah. So, sorry, Marcus, but you're taking the sell. I need to get a win somewhere.
I'm not a fan of running two tight ends, but he does have Lawrence stacked up with Ingram versus KC, which is that could hit big. Devontae Adams playing Buffalo. Adams is questionable. Buffalo's got a good defense. They're in Buffalo. I don't think he's going to get many points. I'm still not sold on James Cook. Let's see who you got. I like Pat Freiermuth. Dobbs is questionable. Ridley's going to be nice in KC in that shootout. Justin Jefferson's going to get his. You know what? I'll take it. I'll take you because I think Anthony Richardson's going to be the big factor. I think he's going to have a big game in Houston. I think he's going to put a couple of touchdowns on the ground, on his feet. I like you. I like you in this one. I'll get
I
you
definitely need to go find myself a back, though. I know I got K9, good, you know, RB2, but I definitely need to go out there and get myself another back.
I mean, I'm
waiting until week four for Jonathan Taylor.
I'm willing to trade some pieces, you know, if
we are in talks. We are in talks. We're in the negotiation negotiation part of our the trading. We'll figure out if we can make something happen before the week kicks off.
I could be convinced to take Ridley off your hands, you know.
Yeah, you and everybody else on the fantasy team.
But speaking of me, let's get into my matchup. Obviously, since we're looking at my phone, I'm the top of the thing because that's how Sleeper works. I'm playing Team B Champs. Technically supposed to lose by 3 points. But I've got Fields facing off against Jackson, Barkley versus Jacobs, Pollard versus Jones, who might not even play, Ayuk versus Diggs, Lockett versus Boyd, Thomas versus Williams, Andrews versus Hockenson, Pirine versus Montgomery, the MVP Young Hoku versus Butker, and the Cowboys defense versus the Bills defense. Obviously, I like me.
This is a nice matchup.
This is. I did go out and get Baker Mayfield. He's sitting on my bench. I'm unsure of Justin Fields versus Tampa's defense. I like Baker Mayfield against Chicago's defense way better. And if I can convince Christie to give me Mike Evans, I obviously very much like that. I feel like I have given her some good value for Mike Evans. So we'll see how that works. But I also have Zay Flowers on my bench if he still is on my team. So we'll see if maybe I work him in there into that flex spot there. But I like me in this one. No matter what I do at quarterback, I'll take me in this matchup.
I think you're going to continue your run. I think you'll take B-Champs. I think it's going to be a close matchup. I think B-Champs is going to take a very tough, very close loss. B-Champs won last week. Did he lose last week?
He did. Yep, he lost.
He lost last week. So both of the Krauser household will be 0-2 by the end of this week.
At my hands.
By your hands, back to back weeks. That'll be rough.
Yeah, man. Now, see, and obviously, like, I'm a homer pick, right? Like, me picking me is a homer pick. But to be fair, if we break this down, the only bad matchup here for me that I feel like is Tony Pollard versus the Jets. The Jets have a good defense. Pollard might not be in my starting rotation, to be honest with you. I know that it says Ayuk versus the Rams is a bad matchup, but I disagree strongly. Brandon Ayuk is just too versatile for the Rams to fucking stop, and they're not the Rams defense of old. Mark Andrews is still a big question mark. I really need him to play. On his side of the ball, he's got a lot of good matchups, but Aaron Jones is questionable versus Atlanta, and I think Atlanta's got a better defense than they get credit for. So, to be honest with you, I really like me. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. That's the week two matchups, man. That's what we got going on. Hector looking to get into the win column. I'm looking to stay in the win column and destroy an entire household. It's going to be good.
I should be 2-0.
Yeah, that hurts, man. That hurts. My Cowboys defense, though. This is a bittersweet week.
Well, that is it for the degenerates. We will see you after this week. It is Thursday, like we have said. We got a matchup tonight. Sunday's going to be phenomenal. Got Monday Night Football. You will hear back from us next week. Hopefully, I am in the win column.
Said what I said, bitches.
We said what we said, bitches.